Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4 and verse 40. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 40.
Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 40 reads this way. It says, "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of assembling together. And then, Lord, being reminded, Lord, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, may we never take for granted your presence. And, Lord, your will for our lives, that you would desire us to draw nearer to you and that we would grow in the grace and the faith that you've given to us. And so, Lord, may you be honored and glorified in opening up our hearts and minds to hear from you this evening. And, Lord, that you would enable us to apply and to take in the Word of God in such a way that it would honor you and change our lives for your honor and glory, and that we would receive the blessing, Lord, for being strengthened in the faith and grace that you've given to us. Again, bless and build your church, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "Even the Wind and the Sea Obey Him." Isn't that great? Even the wind and the sea obey the Lord. So there's nothing that God cannot do. Amen? God can do everything. And basically, the Lord wants us to believe that, and he wants to reveal that to us, that even in the storms of life, every one of us have storms of life, right? The difference is, what kind of faith do we enter into those storms with? Do we trust the Lord in those storms? Then we won't be panicked. And that's something that we have to focus in on purpose, or we do panic. That's the natural tendency. I will tell you, when it's easy to lean on the flesh, isn't it? And you can get all upset and irritated and aggravated and all that. All those things can happen, but that's not the work of the Spirit. Now, the Lord allows that. We're going to see how that takes place here. But the Lord's objective is to bring his people into faith or trusting him as we grow in the grace that God has given to us. So that's the objective there. And we have to be focused on that also. We can't be, how would you say, minded about all these other things and not be mindful about the work that God is wanting to do in our lives. So it requires a focus, does it not? A focus on the Lord. You're going to work in my life, and I can trust you this day. Don't worry about yesterday and the failures of yesterday. They're gone. We can't do anything about them. We can ask the Lord to forgive us. We can do that. But today is the day, and the rest of the night is the time that we have to serve and to draw near to the Lord and to experience the grace of God and the power of God in our lives. Don't even worry about tomorrow. It's not here yet, right? When tomorrow comes, then that's when we should call upon the Lord and say, "Lord, guide me even this day to honor and glorify you." So again, the objective is for the Lord to bring us closer to him, and that we would grow in this trust and this faith that he's given to us. So we're going to look at three thoughts very quickly. The Lord said, so is the kingdom of God. So he's focusing in on the kingdom of God and what that's about. Secondly, we're going to look at whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God. That's another phrase the Lord used, and we'll look at that. And then the last thought here is, what manner of man is this? And that was an expression the disciples used. And that was because they were awed at what God had done. Even the wind obeys him, right? Even the storm, even. And by the way, listen, it's also important for you to be reminded that God is in control of every storm in your life and mine. Every storm, he's in control, and he wants us to have his peace. That's what's going to make the difference. That's where the light is going to shine into this world through your life and mine as we trust the Lord. And it takes a conscientious effort in the sense of, I am trusting the Lord that he has me in this situation and I can trust him in this. It doesn't mean that he takes that trial away. We still experience it, but we can rest and we can have his peace in the midst of the storm, right? Okay, so let's back up here to verse 26 and let's see what the Lord is saying here of chapter 4, verse 26. And here's what he says. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. We want to just stop right there. This is how the kingdom of God, this is what it's really all about, and this is how the gospel of God takes root in the life of every individual believer. This is how it happens in the life of every believer. We receive the good seed, the word of God, in good fallow, good ground that has been tilled up, right? It's been turned over and receptive to the word of God. So we're receiving this. And then the seed of God goes into the heart. Nobody sees it there. Just like when a farmer plants seed out in the field, what happens? The seed is buried with the soil, isn't it? And what's going on underneath, nobody sees, and yet we could talk about the science of it, but we really don't know how you can take a seed, stick it in the ground with a little water and a little bit of warm air and all this stuff, and all of a sudden it starts to turn green, right? I'll never forget when I was a little boy, I'm not going to get too far into this, I was about 6 or 7 years old, I got some seeds and I planted them. I planted some corn. And we're talking about a 4-foot by 4-foot plot. I planted some corn. I planted some tomatoes. I planted some green beans. I planted some radishes. You can already tell what this garden's looking like, right? So anyway, the corn got about that tall. That was it. Never grew any more than that. By the way, down in Florida, North Miami Beach, the soil's all sand. So you could grow baby tomatoes. They like that acidic soil. And one thing I did discover, though, you'll never believe this, radishes grow. They really grew. I don't know if it was just a fluke thing for me or whatever. My dad loved radishes. You know how proud I was to pull radishes up and bring them in for his dinner. You know, I couldn't stand radishes, but I loved to give them to my dad. And so I liked gardening. That was about the extent of my venture in gardening until I moved up to Missouri in 91. And my father-in-law liked gardening. Well, man, I just took off with it right there. You know, I said, man, let's do this, you know. And so anyway, we had a season of growing, and somebody told me, go ahead and plow up your field and cast some winter rye. It'll keep the nutrients up. Well, I thought, sure, why not? So here I threw out that winter rye, and this was now about 75-foot by 75-foot plot. And anyway, all of a sudden, there was just dirt there. It was getting cold. They told me to plant it in the fall. And then all of a sudden, I had about this much green grass. It looked like grass. Right? And I was like, man, that's impressive. I had a winter lawn, right? And so you couldn't see. In fact, I kept going out there every day, just like the farmer here, going out, nothing's happening. I kind of almost gave up on it. Then all of a sudden I started to see little green showing up. And then all of a sudden it got thicker. And I was pretty proud of that winter wheat, rye, whatever it was I planted anyway. I was excited about that. You know, God is excited to see your life and my life grow. Do you know God is inspecting and looking and expecting to see growth because he's the master farmer? The only thing, we are the receivers of the seed. All we have to do is trust the Lord. He is faithful. And so notice what it says here, again, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. But it does work, right? We don't really know. I mean, I know you can get some scientific explanation, but how do things grow? Well, that's just the way God intended it to be, isn't it? Do you know God intends the believer to grow as well? That's his will. So verse 28, he says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn of ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So he's saying this is the reaping of the fruits, right? That's the best part. So what would it be to be planted and to grow but not bring forth any fruit? That would be a disappointment, wouldn't it? Well, the Lord's the master farmer, and he can assure us that he can bring forth fruit out of our lives. So that's the first analogy, if you will. And let's do something here while we're right here. Let's put a little bit of a perspective on where the Lord is positioned right now. Because if at first appearance here, we could say, well, the Lord's preaching to the people, right? right? We would say that. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the people. But let me put the perspective on it. Back up to verse 1 in chapter 4, just for a moment, so we can see the Lord's position. Notice how he was teaching the people here, because he's getting ready to take a little boat ride, right? So he's preaching in the daytime. Notice he says, verse 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him, listen to this, a great multitude. So he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So you get this little picture. I want you to see the Lord's in the boat, and he's there all day preaching. And he casts off a little bit there. And so, I don't know, people speculate that he was using how the water would carry the sounds and how maybe that created a better acoustic situation. But get this, there's a multitude of people on the shore, aren't they? We just read that, right? The Lord's in the boat, he's talking, and he's telling his disciples, and he's speaking to the multitudes that are there. And that's going to play an important part, if I don't forget, that's going to play an important part towards the end of the message here. I won't forget. I'll make it a point. I can't promise, but I'll try. Anyway, so we see here what the kingdom of God is like. Secondly, he says, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Look at verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Notice what he says. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. It is the smallest seed. I mean, it's almost insignificant, isn't it? You know, sometimes, and he's saying, so what is the kingdom of God? Well, what is the kingdom of God but the grace of God and salvation, right? So God takes a little seed that is not even seen and plants it into your heart and mine, and we call that salvation, right? When somebody trusts the Lord, and yet it doesn't go noticed, really, at first, maybe. It doesn't go noticed, but then God brings a change that is seen by others that are around us. They ought to see the grace and the mercy and the love of God in our lives. And notice how he makes this analogy here. Verse 31. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that are in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Isn't that good? It was insignificant, but it has grown up into something that birds can make their home in. Do you know, listen, God intends our faith to grow up in such a way that people can come and find refuge and rest and peace and the love of God and the encouragement of the things of God. Listen, that's what God intends to take place in your life and mine for his honor and glory and our blessing. Isn't it great to have the peace of God and the love of God in such a way that people who really need help can come to us and we can encourage them in spiritual things? Isn't that good? And so that's what God's intending here. Verse 33, he says this, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them, the multitudes and his disciples, as they were able to hear it. That's important, as they had the ability to hear it. So some people hear it, but they don't take it in. Right? And so the Lord wants us to hear it, and he wants us to take it in. You know, Lord, what does that mean? Lord, I want this to take place in my life. I want you to do this work. I want to be this kind of place that you created me for, that I would honor and glorify you, and that people would find refuge in. Again, verse 33, he says, and with many such parables, he spake the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. So there's a thing that happens out in public, and then there's an intimate relationship when we get alone with the Lord that he expounds on these truths that we take in. And how they're to work in our lives. The reason why God expounds on these things to the life of the believer is because he wants us to walk in, he wants our manner of conversation, our manner of our lifestyle to be affected by the Word of God and to be molded by the Word of God and to be shaped into the Word of God, right? So we don't take the Word of God and say, now how can I make it fit into my way of thinking? No, that's not how it works. God is wanting our way of thinking to get into his word. God's way of thinking, that we might walk in the way God would walk, because the Lord is our shepherd and the Lord is our example. And so that ought to be taking place in our lives. And so now we're going to come to the last thought here, and we find, what manner of man is this? So again, these two lessons were taught to the disciples. They were taught to the multitudes. And I wanted you to get this picture here, because we're going to see something that took place here in verse 35. It says this: "And the same day when even was come," so remember, he was there in the daytime, now it's night. He was busy all day, and he was telling them many parables. The Lord was exerting himself, wasn't he? The Lord was giving of himself. That's the example. And what was he doing? He was giving of himself for the betterment of everybody. And the Lord is our example. And that's the purpose, that we might be involved in this work of grace in our lives. In other words, yielded to the Lord. And then that we might share that grace in the lives of other people as well. So he says this. He says, "In the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship." Right? He's already there, even as he was in the ship. "And there were also with him other little ships." Now, the reason why, this is the part I was going to tell you, I was going to tell you later on. This is it now, all right? So here it was. There were people, the multitudes by the seaside, right? They went away. But I also want you to see that there were other little ships that decided to follow him. Now, the multitudes went away, but maybe these other people and these other little ships, they said, you know what? We liked the word of God. It was a blessing. Maybe they benefited by some of the miracles that the Lord done. Maybe they were curious or learning more about what the Lord was about. I don't know what exactly the reason was, but they decided to follow him. That's a good thing, wasn't it? So likewise also, we have to make that decision. And look where he's getting ready to go. I would dare say these little ships were affected by the storm, wouldn't you? But they were out there with him as well. So verse 30 says this: "And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." So the boat wasn't falling apart, but the waves were coming in. But where was the Lord? The Lord was asleep. And by the way, I don't think the Lord brought a pillow with him. I think this pillow was, for whatever reason, a pillow that was on the ship. So I don't know. I don't think it was a high dollar pillow. Okay, but anyway, he was in the back of the boat, which is where the pilot is at, and that's the Lord's position, isn't it? He is the pilot of our life, and if the Lord is in our ship, can it sink? No, it can't sink. It can't sink. And if the Lord is in our ship, It will never sink. We may leave this life, but we will never sink to the depths of hell because of the grace of God. Isn't that great? And so this is what God has given to us to give to the world, that we might enjoy it and say, you know, do you have any spiritual interests? That's a good question, isn't it? Do you have any spiritual ideas, any spiritual thoughts? And open up a door of conversation concerning eternal life. And you'll be surprised how people will be receptive if we want to be a vessel for the honor and glory of the Lord. And again, we don't want to be people that just talk about the lost. We want to be people that talk to the lost about their souls and about eternal life. So it's important for us to be that witness, to ask people what they think. And let them talk. Let them talk. And we don't have to correct them. But we can ask this wonderful question that says, if what you're believing is not the truth, would you want to know? And I would dare say that they would say, yes, I would like to know. And if they don't want to know, don't say anything. And my understanding is they'll say, aren't you going to tell me? Right? Aren't you going to tell me what you wanted to tell me? Well, you said no. Well, maybe they said they changed your mind. They want to know. Because maybe they think, and God works that way. God will work in their hearts and minds to cause a curiosity about the things that are eternal, because everybody knows we're leaving this world, aren't we? Right? And so what's the next thing to happen? And there might be something, even though as smart as the world is and how much they know, they don't know everything. And they certainly don't know what's on the other side apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And they God would open up their heart to inquire and ask us. But that'll never happen if we don't ask, right? That'll never happen if we don't ask. And here's the thing. It's not incumbent upon you and I to win somebody to the Lord. Our job is to witness to them, just to tell them about the Lord. See, if we God can work through open mouths. But if we think it's our job to win somebody to the Lord, then we're mistaken. Our job is to tell people. And the salvation is God's work. You and I can't save anybody, but we can point them to the Word, can't we? And that's where the difference is made. And so that's what the Lord is wanting to do. He's wanting to involve us in His kingdom. Amen? And it began with salvation. So here are these ships, and this wind arises, and now the boat's full. In verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, listen to this, carest thou not that we perish? Where did that question come from? Unbelief. Where did that question come from? Fear. Where did that question come from? Not trusting the Lord. The Lord said, "We're gonna go to the other side." It was His idea, right? He saith unto them, verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. And if the Lord says we're going to go over to the other side, we're going to go over to the other side. You can count on that. So they were all concerned and worried. Now listen, that's not the problem. That's not a problem at all. The Lord knew that they had these doubts and fears. Isn't that good? And the Lord wanted to help them with that. You know, here's another good thought. The Lord knows our doubts and fears. And He wants to help us with that. See, all you and I have to do is say, you know what, Lord, I want you to take me where you want me to be. I want you to bring me to the place you... I don't want to lead myself. I want you to bring me where you want me to walk in life. And so, they're doing that. They're following the Lord, and they're having their battles, but God is with them, and God is showing them the way and bringing them into the way. Verse 39, what does He do? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Isn't that great? It's good to have a great calm. Who is the maker of all peace? The Lord. Amen? God. And so there was a great calm. And what was the effect on the disciples? This is the best part, and we'll end here. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? And now there's a great calm, right? And what do you think they might be thinking? Yeah, John, why are you so fearful? Why? What's the matter with you? All right? Should be like me, right? I wasn't fearful one bit. No, he was. But here it is, ready? And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it, listen to the question, that you have no faith? Why? Who are you with? Have you forgotten? And God reminds us, who are we with? Have we forgotten? In every circumstance and situation in life. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? Notice what they saw, that even the wind and the sea obey him. You know, God wants us to see that also. What is that? That God holds everything and is in control of everything in our lives. And all we have to do is just trust Him and seek Him to experience His will for our lives. So tonight, as we break off for prayer, God wants us to draw nearer to Him. Amen? And of course, the question is, do we want that? And if we want that, where's the Lord at? He's just standing at the door. We just need to open the door and say, yes, Lord, come on in. Amen? Would you stand? And we'll have a word of prayer and break off for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne. We do thank you for the reminder of your great love and mercy toward each and every one of us and the desire of your will to be fulfilled in our lives. Lord, if you be for us, who can be against us? And so we thank you for the reminder tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would just encourage our hearts to diligently seek after you and your will in our lives, in every area of our lives. And Lord, bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.